house on this Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost is celebrated exactly 50 days from Easter, and it is the mark of the coming of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be talking about that today, obviously. But again, we want to welcome you here, those of you who are here, but also those of you who are online. If you want to check in on Facebook or whatever social media you use, and know that you are welcome here. I think everyone's been here before, but I always like to remind myself that if you need to be added to our email list to see what's going on in the world, if you're interested in joining the church, reach out. There's some information both in the early part of the bulletin and in the back of the bulletin if you need some additional information about the church or about other things that are going on. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Please stand as you are able for the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin and whose mercy endures forever. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen.
I don't know about you, but that was some organ playing right there. Am I right? Yes. Yes. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Oh God, on this day you open the hearts of your faithful people by sending into us your Holy Spirit. Direct us by the light of that Spirit that we may have a right judgment in all things and rejoice at all times in your peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. A reading from Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God and about God's powerful deeds. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They're filled with new wine. What does this mean?' they asked. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they will prophesy. And I will show portents in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" The word of the Lord.
Spirit and renew the face of the earth. Send forth your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. How manifold are your works, O Lord! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide, with its swarm too many to number. Living things both small and great. There go the ships to and fro, and Leviathan, which made you for the sport of it. All of them look to you to give them their food in due season. Send forth your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. You give it to them, they gather it. You open your hand and they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your Spirit, and they are created. And so you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. O Lord, rejoice in all your works. Send forth your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. You look to the earth and it trembles. Your torch the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God while I have my being. May these words of mine please God. I will rejoice in the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. Sing forth your Spirit and renew the face of the
Gospel according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw him. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As God has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. All right, I invite the children to come forward for a little time with PK. Hey, buddy. Here's someone else coming. Do you want to come with Mama, or do you want to just sit there? Do you want to come up? No? Okay. That's completely all right. There's just two, yeah. Did you count me? Two? Three. All right, so there's three. All right. I saw something when I came into the sanctuary today. All right, so I want you to look like... It's right. Do you see it? It's right up there. Do you see it?
No.
No? No? Oh, wait. It moved. It's over here. Oh, can you see it now? You can? What's it look like? What is it? I'm not going to tell you yet. I need you to find it. Oh, it's over here now. Turn around. It's right there. Do you see it? No, there's not a mouse up there. No, you just triggered several people in this room simply by saying that. No, it's over there. It's over Andrew's head. Look, it's over Mr. Andrew's head. Do you see it? Do you see it? What is it? Oh my gosh, look. It's over by Stephanie. Look, it's over by Miss Stephanie. Can you see it? Do you see it? Do you see it? No, it's over here by Kim. Do you see it? No? Y'all can't see it? You know what it is? A ghost, maybe? I was actually thinking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Have you guys ever heard of the Holy Spirit?
No.
Huh? You were the closest, yes. What is it that... Have you ever heard of the Holy Spirit?
No.
All right, let's talk about something. All right, so we all know God, right? What did God do? Do you remember anything God has done? God created the earth. Right? And all the animals and all the people. What else did God do? Yeah, God raised Jesus from the dead at Easter. That's right. Why did he do it on Easter? Yeah, because we needed a holiday then. And there were unemployed bunnies everywhere, so it made sense. Yeah, so we have God. Yeah, so we have God, and then we have Jesus who came, and we talk about a lot of Jesus stories in church, don't we? A lot of stories about Jesus. And then the third thing that we need to know about God is that God sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. But guess what? We can't see the Holy Spirit. I was actually tricking you guys, kind of, because you know what? The Holy Spirit is everywhere in this room. And it's in everybody's hearts. And the Holy Spirit helps us love each other. And the Holy Spirit helps us to feel God's presence. So I want you to put your hand on your heart. Put your hand on your heart. All right, listen. Da-dun, 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 da-dun. Can you feel it? That was me. Oh. Can't get anything by Nico today. Da-dun. Okay, do yours. Can you hear your heart? He's got a fast heart rate. How about you? Bump. Fast heart rates. Okay, so maybe there's a problem with mine. I'm not sure. Thank you. Oh, thank you. When you get older, your heart rate slows down. Okay. As I age, it decreases. Okay. Liz, come on. All right. So the Holy Spirit is like a power that comes into us and lets us be stronger and braver when we're scared. It's the Holy Spirit that comes into us and makes us love each other even more. Yes. What did I see when I came in? I saw just the Spirit everywhere. The Spirit is over the communion elements, and it's resting on you and on you and on everybody here today because we remember that. And the Holy Spirit helps us do good things. So this is what you might pray for the Holy Spirit, right? Let's pray. Dear God, we love you. Thank you for Jesus, for teaching us how to live. And thank you for the Holy Spirit, who gives us strength and power to live as God's children. All right. Amen. Thank you, guys. Yeah. I've done that before. All right. Let's pray. Holy God, bless the reading and the hearing of this, your holy word, but especially, oh God, bless its doing. Amen. A couple of times over this Easter season, we have actually talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's something that is talked about. Several Sundays ago, I talked about the fact that growing up in Texas, we talked about God most of the time. The Baptist talked about Jesus. And the Pentecostals had the Holy Spirit. The truth is, we all have the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit came and lit among the disciples as a rushing wind was blowing in this Holy Spirit. And it was almost as if from the Aztec, there is a flame, a tongue of fire that rests on each one of you. Each one of them and each one of you. This happens in a very unique situation in Acts. What we have here is a situation where you've got the disciples still in fear, who are sitting in a room, still scared about what has happened after the resurrection, wondering what's going to happen next. And into their presence comes Jesus, who blesses them with the Holy Spirit, right? Now, the Acts text tells it from a little bit different angle. What happens in the Acts text is what is often called the birthday of the church. It's the birth of the church. It's the birth of how we live together in discipleship through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what happens in this text is that language becomes really, really important. And I think language has always been and always will be important, because language is how we communicate with each other. It's how we collaborate. It's how we connect. It's how we form community. It's how we commit to one another. And so language is very important. So I just want to say a couple of things about what you're doing wrong with language. They are sprinkles, not Jimmy's. Okay? It is water, not water. It is the beach, not the shore. And I don't understand why you guys are sending away animals so often. Hello, go birds. Goodbye, go birds. How are you doing? Go birds. Why are you so obsessed with sending birds away from you? I have no idea. Language and words are important. Sometimes some of us have taken it upon ourselves during high school or college, but because of mandatory courses, to take a second language. In most countries around the world, they know at least 2 to 3 languages and more. We have watched shows together, Cindy and I, about cooking shows in France and in Italy. And one of the things that we have discovered is that many people in other countries know at least 4 more languages. Some, as many as 10 or 11. I know 1. Sort of. Sometimes we all mess up around words, right? There's a couple of words that I always get backwards. And there are a couple of words that I just don't use because I don't understand them. They don't trip off my lips, right? We were talking yesterday at commencement. I was having lunch with an alum named Dwayne Royster, who is a bishop. He's been in charge of power and other elements, sort of working towards social justice. And I was sitting there with Dwayne, and we were talking about preaching. And he was saying to me that he gets preachers all the time who say that the people don't seem to be responding when they're sharing theology in their sermon. And so he looked at the pastor and said, well, what are you talking about? And he says, well, I want to talk about the soteriology, you know, the ontological reality of God's presence. I want to talk about Trinitarian language, and I want to make sure that they understand that there is an eschaton that is going to come, and in all of that, the redemption of the people will happen, and all of us will. And he said, he looked at the guy and said, they ain't listening to you because they don't know the words. You don't teach people big theological concepts with words. You do it with stories and with images and with language that connects. Now, I'm going to tell you 2 language stories that I have experienced in my life. One, I took 2 years of Spanish in high school. West Texas, logical to take Spanish. I got to Texas Tech, where I went to college, and I was taking a Spanish 1 class that you had to take for the degree. And our Spanish instructor was from Brazil. And so speaking Spanish with a Brazilian accent was a little odd for a lot of us. So her languages were Portuguese, Spanish, English, and she also knew Italian and French. And we were going through the class, and we got to me, and she had me, like everybody else, to say something in Spanish. It was probably worse the library, because everyone learns la biblioteca, right? So I said it, and she sort of rolled her eyes a little bit, and I thought, well, that's weird. And so then the next day I went to class, and we were all sort of reciting stuff, and I said another phrase in Spanish, and I still don't remember what it was. I do remember cussing in Spanish. The guys that I worked for during the summer taught me how to cuss in Spanish. But I spoke again, and I said the line I was supposed to say in Spanish, and she asked me to stay after class. And I was like, what did I do wrong? And she said, if you never speak again in class, I will give you an A-. And I said, excuse me? And she said, I cannot stand your accent speaking Spanish. And I was offended. And then I went, cool! I can just read other books. I don't have to talk. That's awesome. The final exam was an oral exam. She didn't want to listen to me. I was getting out of jail three on that one. When we went to Russia to adopt Shelby, he was 9 months old. And I cannot tell you how many people there and how many people over the next few months and years said, did you have a language problem with Shelby when you adopted him? And I was like, well, not really. Really? I mean, he's from Russia. So he's 9 months old. He couldn't understand them. He couldn't understand us. He's a 9 month old. He doesn't speak. We still had a language problem, but that was because he was 9 months old, right? The language that we use, the assumptions about language, the dismissal of people who use different languages or have different accents is pretty perverse in our country and around the world. Language can separate us significantly. When we're in a place where people speak a different language that we don't know, we can feel isolated and alone. When we go to places and we take our Babbel courses so we can figure out how to speak before we go, or we take our Google Translator so that we can say what we need to say, we can bridge that gap a little bit, and that's powerful. What happens in the Acts text is that the disciples were given the power by the Holy Spirit so that they could speak in a way that everyone who was out there could hear the word of the Lord. Grace and hope and peace in their own language. It was a moment where language brought people together. They could communicate. They could commit to each other. They could collaborate. They could form community together because the language held them together. So often, though, language separates us. Over the last 5 or 10 years, we've seen people being videotaped telling Latino people to speak English and belittling them. I have experienced going into a store with my accent and they start talking slower and more loudly because I guess they think I'm dumb because I'm from Texas, I'm not sure. But it's not just language, it separates us. We get separated by so many things. Race, gender, sexuality, our educational level, the opportunities that we have in our lives, our family dynamics, whether our parents are divorced or still together. Shelby said at one point that we were the weirdest family that he knew in the school. And I was like, why? Is it because we're gay? And he said, no, because you're still together. And you like each other. His entire class was filled with kids who came from divorce. There are things that separate us so much. Things that we do ourselves to separate us. But so often, things that are done to push folks away, to say, you're not part of us. You don't get to be here. You don't belong. We may do it intentionally, we may do it unintentional. But the thing about being Christians is to understand that at 9 o'clock in the morning, the disciples were not drunk. Eagles fans may be at 9 o'clock in the morning, but not the disciples. They were speaking with the power of the Holy Spirit so that everyone could hear the word. They were speaking through their own voice, but with languages that they did not know, but that people could hear and go, oh my God. I hear in my own language. And it connected them to each other. They were able to communicate with each other. They formed community together. And they created a church. A church that follows the steps of Jesus. A church that loves God and knows that God loves and gives us grace. And a church that through the Holy Spirit can live out our faith. I read a book recently about church revitalization. And they said three things need to be present. First, it needs to be a praying church. A church that prays for each other. A church for praise, who prays for folks who are not in the room with us. It's a church that prays for those who are in need. It's a church that prays for us to follow Christ and to be the church that God intends us to be. Second, to be a praying church that prays for one another, that prays for those who are here and those who are outside our walls. And third, do you think I'm going to say a praying church? It's a church that lives out its mission. And they do that through prayer. And they do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. May we always feel the tongues of fire enabling us, empowering us, strengthening us to do what St. Mark's is called to do and what each and every one of you is called to do. That is the church, birthed in Pentecost, that still comes to us 50 days after Easter to show us how we live beyond this day and every day through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
As we stand here together, knowing that words matter, let us say the creed together. I believe in God, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Trusting in the power of Christ's resurrection to heal and redeem our broken world, let us pray for all the needs of all creation. O God, you send the Holy Spirit to gather your church into one. Inspire all ministers of the gospel to speak prophetic and hope-filled words to all whom they encounter. Bless the work of interreligious dialogue. Merciful God, receive our prayer. You send the Holy Spirit to renew the face of the earth, protect all living things, bring forth clean water and abundant food, and grant us wonder as we contemplate all that you have made. Merciful God, receive our prayer. You send the Holy Spirit to break down the barriers of communication among nations, bestow peace in war-torn areas, guide all in government and society to work for justice, and guard those serving in the armed forces, especially this weekend as we remember those who died in service for their country. Merciful God, receive our prayer. You send the Holy Spirit to accompany those who feel abandoned, provide food for those who hunger, and drink for those who thirst. Soothe those who are anxious or betrayed, comfort those who are sick or suffering, and answer all who call upon your name, especially Dolores, Francis, Kathy Liberato, Ed, Nancy, Annie, Bobby, Jessica, Mary, Frank, Larry, Rose, Michael, and Laurie. Merciful God, receive your prayer. You send the Holy Spirit through the gift of baptism. Bless both of those preparing for or affirming their baptism. May they be encouraged by this community of faith as they live out their baptismal promises. Merciful God, prayer. God of resurrection power, use us and these prayers to proclaim the good news of all new life to all of the world. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen.
Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share signs of peace with one another.
All right, do we have any God sightings today that we would like to share? All right, Liz.
Okay, my God sighting's a little one, but we have been in some Catholic churches recently. Unfortunately, we had a death in our family and have had funerals and all sorts of stuff. And the piece is so short. It's like, they literally just go like this. And I feel like it's such a blessing that we not only don't just do this to each other. I mean, we do when we're sick, and we do it for far apart. But the fact that we actually like hug each other and touch each other and create community that way. So I know it's like God in church, but still, I was like, wait, that's it? Like, I didn't even get to say peace to my family. So I don't know, my God's sighting.
It's a song cue, having played in many Catholic churches, yesterday being one of them, the Lamb of God comes right after the peace. So I remember the first time I waited too long and the priest was like, it's time for Lamb of God. That's where it goes. So yeah, thank you. Pastor Mary.
Yay, Mary.
PM.
PM, right, another PM. First of all, it's delightful to be here. I finally had a Sunday off from my other duties. But something happened today that I haven't had experienced in a long time. I work at two churches, and of course I have a home church. So I go home sometime Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and I look at everybody's services, all right? So I listen to all three sermons. But today, when you were reading through the prayer list, and I heard my name again, and I'm on all these prayer lists, and every week I am like, oh yeah, but today, because of your sermon too, PK, it feels so good to be embraced by the prayers of others, and I've had a really rough time. I am cancer-free effectively now. Done. Yay. So thank you so much, because I've given this advice as Pastor Mary throughout my life, that lean into the prayers of others when you're having a hard time. And I'm so glad that I left the Roman Catholic Church.
Thank you.
I love that.
All right, well, let me share some announcements. If you want to turn to the back of your bulletin, page 20 and beyond, just to sort of note some things. We're having a Pride worship service on June 7th. We're going to have some folks, hopefully, from the Gay Men's Chorus. I want you to wear whatever rainbow colors you have. If you don't have rainbow colors, just wear bright colors. But we want to just sit and affirm. This church made a very important decision several years ago to become a Reconciling in Christ congregation. To welcome queer clergy, to welcome queer folks in our community, to bless marriages, and to be a part of a reconciling and inclusive and welcoming and affirming community. So we're going to have, June is Pride Month, and so we're going to have Pride Sunday on June 7th. Sorry, hope you'll be here. We're going to be doing a summer sermon series that I'm excited about. We're going to talk about stories from the Bible you probably don't know. And there's a couple of questions there. One, wondering what stories it might include. How about, who is a woman who was a spy and literally saved the day for Joshua as he led the wanderers back from their slavery in Egypt? What animal talks in an odd way to convince a man to follow God's instructions in his life? Who fell asleep during one of Paul's sermons and fell three stories to his death? We're not three stories up, so don't fall asleep. You still might get a bump on the head, all right? Yeah. So a couple of things I want you just to note. We don't have a lot of kids here today, but we do have some folks who are very, very closely tied to children. And they did an amazing, amazing job making those blessing bags. They forgot to count. I've counted loosely, and it was close to 60 bags. So there are bags in the mailroom, which is unlocked. If you need to gather some more, there are some on the back pew. Put a couple of them in your car. As you see people who might be in need, share those with them. There's socks and water. There's snacks. There's stuff in there that we hope will bless them. And if you will be a part of that disbursement, that is wonderful. So grab a couple, have them in your car so that you can take care of that. A couple of other things, just getting closer to the 90th birthday acknowledgement for Mary Ann Salduti. So please get your cards in, send them to her daughter, Suzanne, so that she can get those gathered together. They need to be there by June 4th. And then, obviously, we have the St. Mark's Lutheran Church Designer Bag Bingo. So if you have not bought your tickets yet, you can buy them through Venmo, you can buy them through Stephanie, you can buy them through the church office, and they have to be paid ahead of time for us to really get an accurate count. We do have, you can purchase at the door, but so that we have a right number, we would absolutely prefer that you do those before the event. So thank you for that. And so now, I invite the ushers to come forward. As we receive the gifts for the missions of the church to support us in all that we do.
Okay.
Yes.
We also need raffle baskets.
Oh, we need raffle bags. The better it is. That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. Okay. Yay! So anything that we can have at the bingo raises more money, and so make your bags, your gift bags, make, if you've got art that you want to donate that it could be auctioned off, or a beautiful kid's drawing that is just spectacular, want us to auction that off. We'll auction it because it's precious and we love it. All right, thank you.
Okay, we have had a great program year of choirs, the bells, the adults, the faith formation, strings, brass, baby bells. We are slowly inching into summer mode. You'll notice during the summer a little less music. We won't sing the psalm after next week. The hymns will be a little bit shorter. Some of us want to get out to the beach or on our bike when it finally gets above 50 degrees. And we'll have some special music through the summer. You can go ahead, just go ahead while I talk. And the first special music today is going to be you, but next week our special music is gonna be the cast of The Lion King, so that is a Sunday not to be missed. But for today, the special music is you. I'm going to teach you a song called God Welcomes All. And just echo me, please. God welcomes all.
God welcomes all.
Strangers and friends. God's love is strong and it never ends. God's love is strong and it never ends. Listen to the whole thing. God welcomes all, strangers and friends. God's love is strong and it never ends. Your turn. God welcomes all, strangers and friends. God's love is strong and it never ends. By yourself while I move to the piano. Ready and God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory, through Jesus Christ, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. It is right. And let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, that your Savior, our Savior Jesus Christ, fulfilling the promise of the resurrection, you pour out the fire of your Spirit, uniting in one body people of every nation and tongue. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Today we will receive communion at the rail. The ushers will direct you so that you can come up. We have gluten-free bread if you need that. Also, there is grape juice or apple juice in the center, and there are cups for wine for you to have. Come to the banquet, for now all is ready. Thank you. Please rise as you are able. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift. In faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. You see it? You see it over here? You see it over there? You see it over here? Up there? In here? May the Holy Spirit guide and direct you. May you feel that Spirit so that you can continue to be the followers of Jesus we're called to be. May you know the power of the Holy Spirit so that it will lead you and lead this church to where God is calling us on a regular basis. Go in peace, remember the poor.